evening, you'll notice there are three appearances or appearings of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 26, it says, "For them must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared." Hath he appeared? This is something that has happened. This is something that has already taken place. He hath appeared, and thank God Jesus Christ came into this world. He who is the Son of God and God the Son left heaven's glory, stepped down, humbled himself, took upon himself the form of a man. And in the fullness of time, Jesus came forth and was born and lived a life upon this earth, a perfect life, for he was a sinless, spotless, crimeless Lamb of God. The Bible said he appeared, and every time you look at a newspaper and you see the date on it, it refers to the time that Jesus Christ appeared, when Jesus came into this world, the year of our Lord. And so we thank God Jesus Christ hath appeared. But of course we have got the answer of why he appeared, because it says in that verse that once in the end of the world had he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And there we find the answer to the greatest problem of man's heart. Thank God Jesus Christ not only come to look at sin, but thank God he came to deal with sin and to pay the price for our sins. And thank God to shed his own precious blood, because it says that once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And thank God the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why he came. Yes, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. But he came to put away sin, to deal with our sin. And he could only do that by the sacrifice of himself. And that is brings us to the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. You remember, whenever we think about the cross of Christ, why did Jesus come? He came because of me. Friend, he came because of you. The book of Isaiah chapter 53 says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And it's with his stripes that we are healed. And so whenever we think about the cross, friend, it's not something that happened simply 2,000 years ago without any significance or any relevance to your life or mine. But the Bible says that Christ hath appeared, and thank God he did. He appeared in this old sin cursing of time. He who was without sin, who knew no sin, the crimeless, sinless, faultless Lamb of God. The Bible says, you remember what John the Baptist cried out, "Behold, look, look, there's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Every other lamb whose blood was shed could never take away. But thank God, here's the Lamb, says John. Here is the Lamb of God. Thank God, this Lamb taketh away. Taketh away. Deals with it. Hallelujah. Deals with it forever. Thank God your sins are dealt with under the blood. And friend, tonight if you're saved, you rejoice in this fact. Your sins are covered tonight. They're underneath the blood of the Christ of Calvary. They're as far removed as the darkness is from dawn in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. Hallelujah. My sins are gone. Do you believe it tonight? If your sins are gone, you ought to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he appeared. He appeared. Hallelujah. This is something that has already happened. He hath appeared to put away sin. To put it away. Hallelujah. Never to be remembered against us anymore. And that's what God's word promises. The psalmist said this, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." Hallelujah. We're not carrying the load of our sin anymore. For praise God, he hath removed our transgressions from us. Not as far as the north is from the south, because that's a distance that can be measured. But thank God, as far as the east is from the west, the immeasurable distance Thank God it means he puts them away completely. He puts them away completely. My, the old devil, the old accuser, he comes and he tells me of deeds that I have done. But thank God, Jesus, see, he seeth none. Why? Because he came to put away, to put them away, to remove them. And that's why he says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 17, your sins, and your iniquities, listen to this, will I remember no more. God forgets them. God forgives, not only forgives our sin, but thank God he forgets our sin. He's put them in the sea of his forgetfulness, never to remember against them anymore. And my, when the old devil comes and tries to bring you down and tries to cast you down and my, to throw you down in despair because of the sins of the past. Hallelujah! If they're under the blood, thank God they're dealt with. They're dealt with, and God says it's forgiven. And God says, they're forgotten, never to be remembered against you anymore. Yes, that's the first appearing, hath he appeared. And then notice something else it says. And here is not only the cross, but here's consolation. Go to verse 24. It says, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven. Christ is entered into heaven. Now to appear. This is something that's happening right now. What a consolation. Let me tell you, do you ever feel lonely? Do you ever feel that nobody cares, the pressures of life are upon you, and you feel that nobody understands what you're going through? Maybe there's nobody interested. Maybe you've tried to tell somebody about what you're going through. And now you've come and you want to unburden your heart to them and tell them what you're going through. And you want them to bring you help and sustain you in your time of need. And they sort of say, haven't time. You know, I've never seen people listen. And with more machinery and with more faster cars than we ever had. And people were never further behind. You meet them down the street. And it used to be that the old farmers used to stand and hang over the gate. Some of you, perhaps the older generation, will remember, used to hang over the gate and had time to talk to each other. And boys, they talked for hours. Now, maybe they worked to midnight, but boy, they had time to talk. And they talked one another. Today, you meet somebody down the street and you say, hello, how are you? Hello, how are you? I'll see you sometime. I'm in a hurry. No time to talk to you. No time for you. Let me tell you, friend, the old devil comes and says, nobody cares. Nobody cares about you. You're having a hard time, but nobody understands what you're... That's a lie, friend. That's a lie. Let me tell you how much the Lord cares. The Bible says, look at that verse 24. Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but he hath. Thank God Christ, Jesus Christ, has entered into heaven now to appear in the presence of God. Mark the next words. For us in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't come to earth and say, well, listen, I did that work. The work's finished as far as the redemption of their soul. Right, I provided salvation for them and then forget about them. No. He hasn't forgotten about you. You know, let me tell you, don't let the devil ever tell you that you're alone. Friend, you're never alone. You're never alone. I remember when my dad passed away and Anne and I and the family were in America. And God opened a wonderful way for me to find out because my dad could have been buried. And I wouldn't have known. But God, that's a story for another time, God in a wonderful way got that message through to me. In the Smoky Mountains. I remember when I came home, and the night before my dad was buried, I remember my mother saying to me, standing at my father's side, you know, she said, son, whenever your dad and I, there were only two of us in the house, that early hour in the morning, whenever they woke up, and Mum asked Dad how he was, and he said he wasn't feeling too good. And she decided to get him a drink of water, and then she would say, Bob, I'll make you a good cup of tea. Like myself, he loved his tea. and we'll get some breakfast. And she brought the glass of water and she sat down beside him, put her arm around him. She said, Bob, take a wee sip. And he lifted his head to take a sip of the water and just dropped his head like that. It was all over. 46 years they were married. And she cried out. She says, son, I cried out to your daddy. Bob, don't leave me. Don't leave me. But she said he did. She said, I want to tell you, son, just at that moment, I could hear a voice speak as clear. And this is what he said. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. You see, my dad had to leave. But the Lord never leaves. So you're never alone, friend. No matter what you're going through, no matter how hard the road is, no matter how tough the journey is, no matter how dark the day is, thank God, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is always with us, people. And unto the righteous there ariseth light in the darkness. Thank God he can lighten the darkened room with the sweetness of his presence. And it says here, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And in heaven tonight, there's one at the Father's right hand, and he's making intercession for me. Thank God he knows my need. My Jesus knows just what I need. But friend, not only does he know, but thank God, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's the answer to your need. You see, the first appearance was at the cross. But thank God the second appearance is in heaven. And it brings consolation. To know that the Lord is with me, and not only has he promised to be with me, but praise God, he intercedes for me. He pleads my cause at the Father's right hand. And if there's nobody else cares, or nobody else wants to know, thank God Jesus cares. Casting all your care upon him. Notice that. That's one kind of care in the verse. Casting all your care. That's anxious care. Your care. But notice it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth. That's a different care. That's loving care. Thank God his loving care is able to take control of my anxious care. For he taketh from me the burden, and he giveth to me a song. But then there's a third appearance. You see, one has already happened, hath he appeared. The other is happening now to appear. That's now. But then look at verse 28. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear. That's future. That's still to come, friend. Are you looking for him? Are you looking for him, friend? It says, but unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Thank God he's not coming to deal with sin. Thank God he's coming for his saints. And he'll appear. Shall he appear the second time? He's coming again. Do you remember whenever the disciples were standing on the Mount of Olives and the Lord Jesus Christ was taken up from them into heaven? Do you remember what the angel said? Why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus. Have you got it? Have you ever wondered what Jesus is really like? Oh, I know man puts his pictures upon what Jesus is, friend. No. Listen. This same Jesus, the one who walked the scene of time, the one who walked along the shores of Galilee, yes, even the sea itself, the one who rode in the boat, the one that healed the sick and gave sight to the blind and life to the dead, this same Jesus shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. He's coming again. But are you looking for him? What if he were to come tonight, friend? What would it mean to you? You see, I'm not only talking about Bible truth here. I'm talking about living realities. Because as sure as Jesus Christ came the first time, he's coming the second time. And he's coming again. You know, he told the story about the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And then he said this. And they that were ready went in with him. And the door was shut. 5 were shut in, friend. But 5 were shut out. Now tell me, which one's you? This is real. And that brings me not only to the 3 appearances, but I want you to notice the 2 appointments. And that's what I want to talk in the closing moments. Look at verse 27. In between. In verse 27 it says this. And as it is appointed unto man once to die. But after this. The judgment. And there we see the 2 appointments. That God Almighty has made. Notice the way it's put here. It is appointed. There's a fact. There's a fact. It is appointed. And notice the next word. It is appointed unto, not by, but unto. And then notice the next word. It is appointed unto men. That's you and me. That's the all-embracing word for men and women. That means mankind. It is appointed. Now that word appointed is an interesting word. Because it means to fix a point. To put away something for safekeeping, to be laid up, it is reserved. In other words, a meeting arranged ahead of time. Now, who's made this appointment? It's arranged. And let me say to every single person in this meeting tonight, listen to me carefully. This appointment is arranged for you. Not the person beside you. You. This is someone personal here. Now forget about others sitting beside you and think, listen, he's talking to somebody else. No, the Spirit of God, friend, is talking about you, because it says it is appointed unto men. The focus of the appointment is unto men. That's you and me. And what God is saying is this, listen, it is appointed, listen, arranged ahead of time. What does that mean? It means that God has already set the day, the time, the manner, the place of your death. God's arranged it. You say, but I don't know anything about it. No, friend. It is appointed unto men, not by them. And what God is saying here is this. You better get off your high horse. You're not in control. You're not the boss. You're not the person that has got the reins in your hand, that somehow you're steering the ship. Because you've got the wheel in your hand and everybody else is just a passenger, but you're the captain. No, friend. There's only one hand on the wheel. And that's God. He's the captain. And God has appointed, the Bible says, it is appointed. It is. Close your eyes to it. Turn your mind away from it. Forget about it. Dismiss it. Whatever you like. It is appointed. Remember, the appointment's made. It's already made. And you don't know where. The old man in the book of Genesis said this. He says, I'm old. And he says, I know not the day of my death. Maybe you say, preacher, but that's not fair. That's not fair. God has made an appointment. And he's not telling me when it is. Listen to what God says, friend. God has told you about it. You're not blind to facts. This is what God says. Boast not yourself of tomorrow. You have no promise of tomorrow. And maybe you've led out this week and you have all the plans and all the arrangements and now it's all in your control and you say, I will do this and I will do that and I will go into the town and I will buy this and I will purchase the other thing and I'll build this and I'll build that. Listen, read James chapter 4. And then it says, thou shalt say, if the Lord will. Where does God come into your story? Where does God come into your reckoning? Do you think that God's not in control? Have you fooled yourself into thinking that somehow that you're the master? The Word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not. What a day you bring forth. Say, well, preacher, I know that's true. Well, friend, listen, if you do know that's true, if you've got that far, tell me this, if you know that you're not sure of tomorrow, don't you need to be ready? Don't you need to be sure that your soul's saved? Did you need to know that your sins are forgiven? Did you need to know that your sins are underneath the precious blood of Christ? If you don't know when or how, that call will come. But remember, it will, because it is appointed unto men once.
to die. And it's coming for you, this reality. It was written on a tombstone, these words. I expected this, but not so soon. I expected this. Yes, you know you have to die, friend. Don't fool yourself. The Word of God says we all must needs die. You're not here forever, and neither am I. I was reared on a farm. My father did what he could to raise his family. He bought a farm in and labored long and hard as a young man, purchased more. But he left it. I walk some of those fields today that he gave me. When my dad's body sowed in a little plot on the top of a hill, little churchyard, and he left the rest all behind. We all must, not might, must needs die and be as water spilt upon the ground. And friend, listen, and when it's spilt upon the ground, it can't be gathered up again. No, there's no second run on this. This is the only one run in life you have, as far as this world's concerned. There's no second opportunity. And that's why if you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved. Now, that's why the Holy Ghost says, today, while you hear his voice, harden not your heart. That's why the Holy Ghost says, behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation, because you cannot promise yourself another day or another opportunity. Because even if you had another day, friend, remember this. God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And you can choose your sin, friend. And there can come a time that God will hand you over to your sin. And God can leave, never to return, never speak again. What an awful thing. That's the first appointment. We're nearly finished, but listen to this, friend. Is that it over? Oh, I hear people say, when I've stood at the graveside and they've dropped the clods of clay down on the top of the coffin and sods were put in the top, and people walked away and said, that's the end of Jimmy. Well, that's it all over. Friend, what a fool. It's only begun. It is appointed unto man once to die, but listen to the rest of the verse. But after this, judgment. You see, I don't see it says they're appointed. Read Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. It says this, that God hath appointed a day in the which he shall judge the world. Yes, the appointment's already made, friend. I've heard foolish people say, if I met God, I would tell him a thing or two. I want to tell you this. They will meet him.
And the Bible says, and every mouth shall be stopped. Do you know why? Because in the book of God's record, the story of their life is recorded, and every sin shall be revealed. On that day, one man stands before God. The second appointment. God set the appointment. It says, after this, the judgment. And you see that word judgment just before I go further. That word in the original means crisis. I tell you, there's a crisis, all right. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And they were judged out of those things that were written in the book. What a day of crisis. What does Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 say? It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. It's a fearful thing. And so it is, friend. To fall into the hands of the living God. The God that made you. The God that gave you life. The God that gave you breath. The God that gave you gospel opportunities. The God that gave you faithful gospel preachers to preach the gospel. The God that gave you the truth when men and women were listening to deceptions. And yet you heard nothing else, only the word of God. And yet you cast it aside. You didn't want it. And you stand before him. Let me read you this poem. When all the great plants of our cities have turned out their last finished work, when our merchants have made their last bargain and dismissed the last tired clerk, when the banks have raked in the last penny and they've paid out the last dividend, and the judge of the earth says, closed for the night, and he asks for a balance, what then? When the choir has sung its last anthem, when the preacher has said his last prayer, when the people have heard their last sermon and the sound has died on the air, when the Bible lies closed on the altar and the pews are all empty of men and each one stands facing his record and the great book is opened, what then? When the actors have played their last drama and the mimics have made their last fun, when the movies have flashed their last pictures and the billboards displayed its last run, when the crowd-seeking pleasures have vanished and have gone into the darkness again, and the world that's rejected its Saviour is asked for a reason. What then? When the bugle last call sinks into silence and the long marching column stands still, when the captain has given his last order and they've captured the last fort and hill, when the flag has been hauled from the masthead and the wounded afield have checked in and the trumpet of ages is sounded, and we stand before him. What then? And I'll tell you what then. Hell. Hell forever. Lost.
forever in a Christless eternity, and there's no way back. And the soul will cry out for another gospel meeting, but there's not another to be heard or held. They'll cry out for another gospel opportunity, another gospel appeal, but the appeals are over. The sinner will cry out for mercy, but it's no longer the mercy of God. The wrath of God abideth on them forever. For it is appointed unto men once to die. But don't forget, after this, the judgment. Are you ready, friend? Forget about other things. Are you ready? For I tell you, that's the only thing that will count. Are your garments washed? Are they white as snow? Are they washed in the blood of the Lamb? It's not a preacher you need. It's not the church you need. It's Christ you need. For he's the answer. Will you come to him? Will you come now? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you.